Rolling, it's the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN Radio. This is John Williams. Pete Zimmerman's the producer. We're 18 stories up above the now not so frozen Chicago River. They had one of those icebreakers come through, cut a path right down the middle of the thing, and turned that chalky white ribbon of ice into a real pretty picture, actually, of plates of ice on the dark water. I took a picture of it from 18 stories up. If you follow me on Twitter and social media, I'm WGN King John. Even put the video up of the icebreaker coming through. We've got ice in Chicago. And John Najarian joining us again on WGN, the founder of MarketRebellion.com. Welcome back, John.
Well, great to be with you, John. Thank you.
Where should we start? What stock or groups of stocks? What story caught your eye today?
Oh, my gosh. Well, are we going to skip right over Bitcoin today, John?
We don't have to skip it, but we have to understand it. That's the hard part.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, you know, famously Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, and I have immense respect for both gentlemen over at Berkshire Hathaway, but they made fun of Bitcoin 2 years ago. Their stock, Berkshire Hathaway, is up 18% over 2 years. This Bitcoin is up 1,100%. So the fact that Elon Musk has, you know, adopted cryptocurrency for his firm, Tesla.
Yeah, how about that?
Is just one more endorsement. But, yeah, this one, over time, it goes a lot higher. Does it make an adjustment or a correction before then? Probably. I can't tell you at what level. Maybe it reverses if and when it gets to 50. It got to 47,899 today. Traded back down to 45,000, and then now it's 46,673. There's just not enough coins for the demand right now. And so you and I know supply and demand. If you don't have enough supply and the demand remains constant, prices go up.
Those are per coins or shares, but it's a digital commodity, right? It's not a thing, correct?
Correct. You don't hold on to anything. There's no full faith and credit of the United States or anything else behind it. It is just an asset, a digital asset, that derives its value by its scarcity. And it was designed to always be somewhat scarce because that's the way Satoshi, whether it's a person or an entire group that designed it, that's the way they designed it. There would only be 21 million of these coins. So far, 18 million have been mined. It'll take another 100 years based on how they allocate coins for these miners. It'll take another 100 years to get to the 21 million coins. So if you have any further adoption by big firms, people are rumoring now that Apple may get into this fray as well. You could easily see some of these assets like Bitcoin pass a $1 trillion market cap. It's closing in on that right now, by the way.
Other more traditional stocks and commodities, what else are you looking at today?
Well, let's see. I'll switch from digital assets over to we had IGT, International Game Tech. This is a firm that does lottery. Electronic lottery, both online and in locations for states. They're based in London, but they do a lot of that work here. They used to be based here. And then they also do slot machines, International Game Tech does. So we've seen a lot of money flowing into that one. That is one of the stocks that I cited today on the halftime report for some unusual activity. Tilray and these pot stocks, oh my. Tilray is T-L-R-Y, Aphria is A-P-H-A, I own both, and I am one of the guys that helps run the cannabis ETF, known as THCX.
Yeah.
THC, of course, the active ingredient in cannabis that makes it fun, I guess. But anyway, those stocks are just on fire. up 21% today in the case of Aphria, up 42% in the case of Tilray. Pot stocks doing extremely well because Arizona and New Jersey, two big states that border other significant states, have approved it in the most recent election for recreational, not just medical. And that is the significant driver, John.
Oh, yeah. I'm just listening to that and wondering how all of that works against the backdrop of COVID. But I think there's a link in all of those cases, too. It's an interesting set of numbers there from John Najarian, the founder of MarketRebellion.com. Okay, John, we'll talk next week. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, sir. Have a great one.
We will, here on the Wintrust Business Lunch now, catch up with a couple of Chicago projects that you know about but maybe haven't heard much about lately. The President Obama Presidential Center, the O'Hare expansion, the CTA Red and Purple modernization, and all of them have one thing in common: Rashad Johnson and his firm Ardmore Roderick. This is the Chicago-based engineering and infrastructure firm, and Rashad joins us on WGM. Rashad, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. How are you?
Not as busy as you.
Busy is good.
Yeah, no kidding. Even in the pandemic, I was reading about your firm. In fact, in the past year, you folks actually increased your employment roles, right? You were hiring.
We have. You know, we've been fortunate enough that even in the pandemic, we were deemed an essential business, and a lot of the agencies that deal in infrastructure didn't stop because people still needed water and still needed transportation and still needed airlines. So we actually grew quite a bit and hired over 40 people in the midst of the pandemic in order to grow the firm to keep up with the growing demand.
So you're coming up on 250 employees, is that right?
Yeah, we're getting there fast.
And you are not just in Chicago, though. You are a product of the South Side of Chicago, right? Did this firm start in the city?
It did. It did. I'm born and raised in South Shore, the Jackson Park area, where my parents still stay. And our headquarters is over in the West Loop area.
You guys are also on the forefront of diversity hiring, too. Talk a little bit about that.
You know, John, a lot of people, especially in our industry, like to say that diversity is very difficult to achieve. And we've been a model that it's not very true. We have almost 60% of our employees are of diverse backgrounds, and we do that very purposefully. And quite frankly, it has not impeded us in any way. It has not degraded any quality. In fact, I would say it's increased our quality quite a bit. So from a diversity from sex, from race, from socioeconomic, we pride ourselves on being a very diverse and inclusive firm in an age where it hasn't always, in an industry, I should say, that it hasn't already been very diverse. But we're changing the model.
What do you say to the employers or employees that say, we would hire a more diverse staff if a more diverse and qualified staff would apply? They're
right.
Just not walking in the door. What do you say about that?
You know, I say it's two things. I say that when you go and you fish in a trout pond, you're going to catch trout. Simple. Because you're fishing in a trout pond. So if you start to fish in another different type of pond, then maybe you'll catch some different fish. So what we do is, even though I am a product of University of Illinois and University of Notre Dame, we go to historically black schools that have solid engineering programs. And we go and recruit outside of the norm of where a Chicago firm would typically recruit from. And we found significantly qualified candidates from diverse backgrounds. So I would say increase your pool. Really start to look at other places outside of the normal one or two or five or ten schools that we always do look for as we recruit in our industry.
Catch me up on a couple of your projects. Talk about the Obama Presidential Center. I saw the other day they're going to break ground. Is it later this year on that?
Yes, we're finally breaking ground, right? We had a bunch of hurdles to go through federally, and all those hurdles have been cleared. We have some work with the city that has to happen first in the Jackson Park area, and we are extremely excited that finally this project is going to break ground, and over the next 4 years, we're going to be constructing it, hopefully with a groundbreaking sometime in the next 4 years in order to open the Obama Presidential Center. But finally, for the first time in the last couple of years, we've been working on the project. It's actually going to break ground this year, and we're going to start some real and true construction. Mm. You're going to see the whole south side of Chicago transform as a result of this project for Obama Presidential Center.
Now, help me out on this. You're not the architect, but more the infrastructure side of this, right?
That's great. We are the owner's representative. So the foundation decides that they're going to hire someone because they don't really know and understand construction engineering. So they hire someone that has this background in both design and construction to help guide them and steer them along the way. So we work in conjunction with the architect. We're in conjunction with the contractors. We're the ones that help to write all of the RFPs and RFQs and break down the project so that the contractors can actually bid the work, which is much more the program management or the owner's representative portion of it.
Yeah, right. So what are we looking at then? I mean, are you roads? Are you landscaping? Are you moving things around? How are you getting the site ready? What's the first thing you do?
Well, that's a great question. So we also are the prime engineering firm for the city of Chicago in order to actually do the design and construction management of Hayes Avenue, Stony Island, as well as Jeffrey and Lakeshore Drive, South Lakeshore Drive, in order to do all of the enabling projects to make space for the Obama Presidential Center. So we're actually working both for the foundation at the Obama Presidential Center, as well as for the city of Chicago, in order to do all of the infrastructure work around it. So right now, we're moving utilities. We're moving roads. We're getting ready to start shutting down roads and widening Stony Island and widening Lakeshore Drive in order to make space for the Obama Presidential Center.
Red and Purple Modernization Project. I've been watching some of that. How's that going?
Oh, my God. That project has been amazing.
That's ambitious. That thing is... If they said do that, I'd say, nah, let's let somebody else do that. I do not want to do that. That looks hard.
Oh, no. It's not hard at all. It's actually fantastic. John, you got to get excited about these things, man. We're getting ready to do something that's never been done before. We're putting a concrete box girder system in the middle of a community going through the north side of Chicago and running trains on it. This is amazing. We just set a couple of steel beams overnight over the last couple of weekends. And it's been fantastic. Now, granted, it's been cold, which makes it a little bit of a challenge with the cold and the snow. But this project has been fantastic for us and for the entire city of Chicago as we look to really change the red-purple lines going through the city. And when we're done, I think the citizens of Chicago are going to see a completely different north side access as a result.
I think that's what we need, too. I've made complaints about how crowded pre-pandemic that train line was. And they said, well, we can only get so many trains on there. They've got to share some space. And this is a solution to that. So then you will hear the enthusiasm in my voice, Rashad. You do the work and then I'll get on and I'll be clicking my heels. OK.
Yep, absolutely. And we love it.
Rashad Johnson is the CEO and president of Ardmore Roderick, the largest black-owned infrastructure engineering firm in Chicago, a real player in this city and other cities as well. Rashad, continued success. Thanks for your thoughts today.
Thank you, John. I appreciate the opportunity.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Okay, so I guess it's no big surprise. I said that there is a hotel in Chicago ranked as the number 3 best hotel in the country. And not surprisingly, that is the Peninsula downtown. By the way, some of the places that you go to eat and drink there are now open up. One of them is going to open up on Friday. One of them is already open up. The manager of that hotel is Max Schroeder. And Max joins us now on WGN. Hi, Max. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And congrats on the accolades. And also, I'm glad to hear that you guys are getting more and more into the biz.
Yes, it's quite exciting for the city to be opening indoor dining again. And it's really helped with our staycations and people coming to the city wanting to come to Chicago and explore and dine, and some of the museums are opening. So it's a pretty exciting time for us. Things are getting back to normal.
We'll talk about that in just a second here. Tell me first, though, a little bit about the hotel. If I have not been to the Peninsula before, what do I see? What do I get? Why is it number 3?
Well, number 3 in the U.S., we're quite humbled to get that top honor, especially this year being our 20th anniversary in the city is quite exciting. And it's basically one of the biggest attributes we have. We obviously have amazing food and beverage outlets, guest rooms, technology in the guest rooms. The whole experience is fantastic. But what really sets us apart is our staff and their caring Midwest hospitality combined with our Asian graciousness really is a great combination, is what's consistently held us in the top five hotels in the U.S. in the last 5 years.
How important is the architecture or the aesthetic? Like, when people walk into a famous and great hotel, don't they expect a certain visual as well?
Yeah, of course, and we definitely excel in that area. But I will tell you, when the hotel was closed during pandemic early last year, it's really the people that make the difference in the facility. Obviously, we have the latest and greatest in design and technology, and that's really a standard in luxury hotels. But it's the service and the people that really bring a hotel to life, and that's really what sets us apart.
Yeah. Have you been open the whole time, or did you have to close completely for a while?
Yeah, unfortunately, we did have to close from March 17th to July 23rd. We were closed, but we're very happy to reopen. And even though there's been some ups and downs since the opening, with indoor dining open and then closed again, we were able to have the spa open. The gym is open. The pool is very popular, especially this time of year. Indoor pool is always a good thing to escape some of those cold temperatures. So it's a great place to come have a great staycation. And get away from, you know, everybody's been cooped up in their homes for so long. They really want to get out and experience something new.
Trust me, you need say no more. What percent capacity are you running at?
You know, it varies pretty drastically. We've had, when the indoor dining first shut down, the occupancy quite plummeted quite a bit, only because, you know, one of the great things about Chicago is coming and being able to eat out, right? But now the indoor dining is open again. We're back up to some decent occupancies, and of course this coming weekend with Valentine's Day weekend and the holiday, we've got some great occupancy. So we're pretty excited about that.
Are you at 25%?
Oh, at this weekend it's more like 70. Yeah, it's very exciting. To see, but we're predicting this year, along with all of the other hotels in the city, probably averaging around 35% for the year.
For the year, 2021 going forward.
Yeah, correct.
Wow, I'm,
which is considerably lower than what we would normally be running at, like 70% or so. But again, there's peaks and valleys. You know, it's just when it's busy, it's really busy, and when it's slow, it's really slow. So it's kind of managing that is always a challenge. But we're very happy for every guest that comes, and we're open. You know, and one of the things that, you know, we really have honed in on and able to manage is every guest has a unique story. They have unique expectations. And so whether you're a little scared to travel for the first time, you know, we're here for you. We're here. We've have some great protocols in place.
Mm-hmm.
We have, you know, we worked with Northwestern and Rush Hospitals to come up with our protocols. So we feel really confident in that. And there are other people, guests that come, and they're pretty relaxed about it.
I would imagine. You know, I would imagine.
Yeah, so
let me just mention a couple of things before we go. So Shanghai Terrace has reopened February 4th. That's for indoor dining. You have outdoor
Wednesday through Sunday.
And you have indoor and outdoor cocktails at Z Bar opening on Friday, correct?
Correct. Indoors mostly until the weather gets good, but then outdoors for sure.
And then you do have a package too, right? A sort of staycation or connection package in the city?
It's Sweet Home Chicago. It's a great package that includes a night of overnight parking. It includes upgrades, our flexible check-in, check-out time. Breakfast is included each day. So a lot of great value-added benefits to that package.
Yeah, okay. I'm in. I'll hang up with you and run right over to the Peninsula. Peninsula.com/Chicago. Congratulations, yeah. Max Schroeder and the staff. He's putting the emphasis on the staff there, and why not? Number three in the country. Thanks for your time, Max.
Thanks for having us, and we look forward to welcoming you.
It's 12:42 on WGN. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Let's go back into the newsroom. More business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Walgreens and Uber are teaming up to get people in underserved Chicago communities to their coronavirus vaccination appointments. The Deerfield-based drugstore chain also says it'll launch an educational program along with the National Urban League about vaccines and vaccine safety. Uber announced in December that it would offer 10 million free or discounted rides so that transportation isn't one of the reasons people don't get vaccinated. Allstate will reduce auto insurance rates in Illinois by 5% on average starting February 18th. The Northbrook-based company is also cutting rates in Wisconsin. Two Boeing executives have warned the White House that requiring COVID-19 tests before traveling on domestic flights could pose significant economic harm. The head of Boeing Commercial Airlines, who co-signed the letter, says the move would impose a burden on the already financially beleaguered airline industry that could ripple across the entire U.S. economy. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Amy Guth joins us to talk business here and there. You know, we've already covered briefly the story about Uber teaming up with Walgreens, and I know that was on your radar today. I'm intrigued by that, but what else would you add to that story generally, Amy?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of those initiatives we're going to start seeing more of to really try to make the entire vaccine rollout to be a more equitable affair, really to try to reach underserved communities and give them access. That's going to be coupled with some educational campaigns. Part of that is Chicago Urban League partnering with both Uber and Walgreens to attach an educational program along with that. So the three of them together kind of working to help vaccine hesitancy and then lower all the different kinds of barriers to the vaccine.
Well, it's been a weird and unfortunate story to see in Washington and Chicago and other cities as well, in communities of color, people not getting the vaccine and people from other communities, white communities, say, appearing in those communities of color to get the vaccine. So Uber is now saying, look, we'll give people rides if that's the issue. I like the sound of that. It's too bad it's necessary, but whatever it takes. So that's one wrinkle on that story today. There's also the story from, I'm not familiar with this platform called Nearby, which is working for small businesses, right?
Yeah, this is new. This is just kind of like just was floating on the radar that I thought was really interesting. And it's the idea of giving small businesses kind of an edge against fighting on like competing against things like Amazon and Walmart. If you're a small business, it's really hard to compete with somebody going onto Amazon Prime, having something at their door a few hours later or the next day, right? If you're a small business, it might be a lot more costly to do that. So what Nearby is aiming to do is to help people source items in their communities or nearby their communities and get that to them. It's also going to help small businesses with marketing. So I'm going to be watching this platform really closely because I think this has the potential to be a bit disruptive and really very interesting when, you know, so much focus has been on small businesses, mostly small restaurants, but nonetheless, a lot of conversation has been this year around small businesses that are trying to keep their doors open. And as fewer people are shopping in stores right now, that e-commerce piece is a really big part of it. And it's sometimes very costly for small businesses to build out that e-commerce part, as we saw this year. We saw a lot of them struggling to do that and kind of getting a, you know, good enough, let's go kind of attitude about it. But this will be a little more seamless of a platform that, again, will help them market their services. And then for you, the consumer, you can go on the app and say, okay, this is the item I need. And you'll be able to source it locally and have that delivery or pickup or whatever, shipping or whatever it is you want to do, arrange so that the e-commerce part, the commerce dollars stay in communities more.
What's the nick on that? What's the percent that somebody's got to pay, right?
Well, that will be the part. The company retains about 5% in Oakland to cover credit card fees and sales tax and delivery costs, things like that. I wondered that same thing because as we've seen here locally with food delivery companies having these kind of surcharges and then the city putting a cap on what those fees could be, I think that part will be really interesting and a really important part of that because as food delivery apps rolled out trying to help small restaurants, they ended up, you know, sometimes eating into their cost margins. Retail has a little bit different cost margin or a profit margin rather than restaurants, which are tend to be very, very low, 3-5%. So we shall see what this looks like. And if this ends up being subject to some of those kind of delivery caps and what that looks like, or if, you know, shipping really kind of gets out ahead of that.
Okay. SpaceX and Elon Musk are always in the news. At least Elon Musk always is. This time it's with SpaceX and something called Starlink. What's that story?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I feel like Elon Musk and SpaceX are in the news, or Tesla, every single day. Yeah. And today's no exception. So SpaceX is the space program that was also founded by Elon Musk. They have started accepting $99 pre-orders for their satellite internet service. It's called Starlink. They say that $99 is, their words, fully refundable. But they also note the fine print in the deposit says that does not guarantee service. So if you look at the website, you start kind of poking around in it. Some areas say, hey, we're targeting coverage in your area mid to late 2021. And then some say, yeah, maybe this will be 2022. So hard to say. But the idea is this intercontinental, you know, full internet service that everybody would have access to. So you get this little, it looks like a little satellite dish that connects with a satellite in space that would give you this internet. So remains to be seen, you know, if it is indeed faster, better, more. The kit in the public beta, the kit to start up to get that satellite and the router and all that was up $500, and then you paid $100 a month. So that's not quite competitive with some of the, you know, the RCNs and the mm-hmm. Xfinities and things like that. But, you know, I think the new shiny object syndrome is kind of what has been a driving force for Tesla and SpaceX. They do a lot of really innovative things, and I think that attracts a lot of attention. So after what Elon Musk said to reporters is once he has a sense of kind of steady revenue, if to gauge interest and see if this is something people want, do you want your internet from space? Once he gets that sense, he's looking to take this company public to raise more meaningful funding and build out that infrastructure for it.
Got 60 seconds. Catch me up on this Skokie-based fuel maker.
Yeah, so British Airways is planning a test in 2022 with a Skokie-based company that makes sustainable fuel. They're called LanzaJet. The parent company is LanzaTech, and they have a plant in Georgia. They're looking to expand a few more. Part of this is British Airways has agreed to invest in the company, and they're going to build a biofuel facility in the UK. They're going to start the early planning stages of that. But this is part of British Airways' big plan to go carbon-free by 2050, and they've made a big step on that, and that's right here in our backyard in Skokie.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm a little confused about what the fuel is of. Are you up to speed on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm no expert on biofuels and things like that, but it is supposed to be a sustainable fuel that is plant-based. And so they're, you know, part of where that plant is in Georgia, from what I understand, is surrounded by some agricultural area where they're sourcing that. But it'll be interesting to see how that company develops as they extend across the Atlantic and grow their presence here, their headquarters in Skokie.
Yeah, 2022 test with the Skokie sustainable fuel maker. Amy Guth joining us on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thanks again, Amy.
Thanks so much, John.